I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden, and I've got quite the assignment this week. And for those of you who don't know who I am a journalist and have been for a long time. And I've written for karate magazines for well over 20 years. And people know me in the martial arts industry as a martial arts master. But what a lot of people don't know is I'm also an ordained and certified clinical pastor, have been for several years, and I do a lot of work in the inner city, in prisons, do a lot of spiritual counseling and that kind of thing. And it's funny how martial arts is a lot like, it's a lot like ministry in a lot of ways, for lack of a better way to put it, because there's so many similarities on the discipline and the respect and the focus and that kind of thing. So anyway, that's what I do. And I'm actually bringing in a highly rated guest of mine today who also happens to be my friend, Maria Vitale. And Maria, you know, we love when you're on because, sister, you're such an open book, first of all. So glad to have you.
Thank you for having me on. Can we say my last name is Vitale, though, not Vitale?
Listen, I'm from the South, and when you go down there, you just remember, you're Vitale.
So, thank you for having me on. It's good to be here.
Yeah, so those of you who don't know, Maria and I go back many, many, many years when we both worked for Fox News, and she was an assignment editor there, which is, that's a tough job. That's the toughest job in the building right there. You're talking about having to catch, listening to 9 police scanners, 3 TV networks, having to catch the news and go get it on deadline. You know, Maria, we were just talking about that deadline pressure. Man, I don't miss that. Like, you have to turn that story because the news is live, and you got to get it on in time to have it, you know, written, produced, and edited, and that's a lot of pressure. And, you were kind of the web for that, the catch-all for that on both ends. So, but, you know, we were also talking that when you can do that kind of work, it's like there's everything's easier. Wouldn't you agree? All other jobs.
I remember when we left TV, you said to me, listen, if we could do this job, we could do any job. And boy, were you right, because there's deadlines in real estate as well, you know, but they're 3 days away, nothing like we had to experience.
Yeah, within like you have, 2 hours to get back, write it, produce it, and air it, a lot of pressure that way. But,
and have accurate information disseminated at the time of the air. Right.
Yeah. And plus, if you've got to do a live shot and you've got to wrap around that live shot, man, you just got to have it together. And sometimes you really do fly by the seat of your pants, which is, why I think when you get older, you really don't want to do that anymore. So that's why when you watch your local news, you see all these, all the younger people, unless they're, they've got the main seat anchor. Those guys don't have to hustle like everybody else in the building does. But It's where we are right now, and I thought my whole purpose in life was to be on TV and to be a TV reporter and anchor, and I know at one time you even did, but it's funny how your journey takes you to other places, even though I don't do that anymore. I'm at a place right now with what I do in the spiritual counseling and that kind of thing where I know I'm in the zone, and I feel like I have a sense of purpose, and I'm just going to tell everybody, Maria got out and went her own way and has now become a very, very successful realtor in the state of Colorado through Liv Sotheby's. Did I say that right?
You did. Now we're from the Valley part. Perfect.
Where I'm from, that's Sotheby's. So that's hard for me to do, but I'll try to, when in Rome, I'll try to speak according to the upper-class accent that you're used to at this point, sister. Hello?
Thank you. The Cali, not I.
Okay, so anyway, but bear with me, everybody. I'm still getting over this stinking influenza A. That was a tough one, but I'm good. I just, when I have to do the broadcasting, I tend to still cough some, and I know it's annoying, but please just bear with me with that. Okay, so, Maria, you know, it's interesting because we both are kind of like the type of personality where we're, you know, like the real go-getter type people, always have been. And you think that you get to a certain point and that, you know, you've arrived. And it's kind of interesting because you and I, we talk a lot really deep about, you know, sometimes very personal things. But it's funny how no matter, you know, where you go and what you do, there's always this sense for a lot of us out there that, you know, we just don't feel worthy or like we don't deserve even the things that we have. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I was just speaking to a bunch of brokers in Northern Colorado at a realtor summit, and I was talking about how I had such a great weekend and wrote about $3.5 million worth of business. And then on Monday morning, I walked in and I saw other brokers were doing $5 million and $10 million. And before I saw their numbers, I was really happy with mine. Not that I wasn't happy after I saw theirs, but I realized there's never enough, right? Because we can always be cuter, smarter, richer, skinnier, nicer, faster, stronger, right? And my intention in that, in my whole point in my speech was just become the better version of you. But sometimes that's hard. I will tell you, even in my own journey, as you know, being a very close friend of mine, I still often do doubt myself, especially in the dating world. Karen, I got to tell you, sometimes I don't feel worthy enough.
Why is that? Let's just stop there for a minute. Why is it that we don't ever feel good enough? Listen, I know millionaires who they've arrived a long time ago, but they never feel adequate. They never feel good enough. And then I know people, homeless people that I worked with through the Salvation Army, and we had their dinner ready for them every day. Those guys, they think they're the greatest thing on the planet. I mean, of course, they could be on drugs. But what is it about, I mean, do you have to, like, just reside to the fact that you may always feel that way, or B, does it come from your upbringing? Is there some way that you brought up that maybe you missed out on getting what you needed as a child? Or is it, you know, is it all the above? What makes us the way we are that we don't see how good we really are?
I think it's a combination, in my opinion, it's a combination of both of those, but it's really making a daily decision that I'm enough. I am good enough to do this. It's walking in, you know, I remember I started off in a bank-owned market, and I remember making the transition from bank-owned to $1 million. And I remember he said to me, well, if not you, then who? And I knew, you know, I'm a strong advocate for every single client I take on. And, of course, why not me? And when I walked in with the certain confidence saying, I am the right person for you, in fact, you need me, it changed everything. But we can work on that in our careers. We can work on that in our personal life. We can work on that in our relationships. I think it all stems from a spiritual understanding and relationship that you are who he, being God, made us to be. And we are in the image of God. We are made in the image of God, right? But we have to be almost reminded of that daily. I mean, I know that there's times that we've all had, you look back. I remember there was a time where you told me you look back at a photo and you're like, you know, at that time, and I said, what a beautiful photo. And you said, yeah, when that photo was taken, so when you were younger, you know, you just weren't sure. And I look back and I just see this gorgeous young gal that how could you even question it, second guess it? Where does that come from? How do we overcome it? And listen, it's not just as a working career, as a relationship. Are we good enough moms? Are we good enough wives? Are we good enough, period, right? I don't know where that comes from. I don't know, but I know it's a daily decision. I will say that, and it's a spiritual understanding in order to be there. A lot of people think, well, I'll be happy when I get married. No, I'll be happy when I buy my third house. I'll be happy when I make $1 million. I'll be happy when I get that job. I think that's an illusion. I think happiness comes from the journey.
Yeah, let's talk about that. happiness chasers. Let me tell you a story. I went in to get my nails done at one of those pick your color shops. You know what I mean? Pick your color.
One of the...
Okay. So anyway, I go in, you know, I'm getting my nails done, and I know the owner very well. He's a Vietnamese man that came over with his wife, and they started this business, this particular salon, did very, very well. And then I noticed the last several times I went, his wife was no longer there. So I said, "What happened? Where's your wife?" He goes, "We got divorced, and now she has her own salon." I'm like, "Really?" Because, you know, I know also from being part Asian that it's very rare that Asian couples divorce. It's not unheard of, but it's a little rare. So I asked him, I said, "Well, what happened?" He goes, "You know, everything fine until we come to America and everybody start telling her how unhappy she is." So I'm like, wow, you know, I do a lot of counseling. I'm like, let me just think about that for a minute. You know, here's this couple that were married for 30 years in Vietnam. Everything was fine. And then she comes over here and he said everybody starts telling her how unhappy she is. And they get divorced. So that's interesting to think that somehow, you know, she got it in her mind after 30 years that, she wasn't living a life of happiness. And so when I think of happiness chasers, I think of very much a physical realm thing. Think about it, Maria. We're programmed from day one, even through high school. What are you going to do with your life? How can we make you the most successful? How can we get you to the point where you make the most money? Everything in our public school system is geared toward that way because that's the way the world operates. You know, how can we get you to have the best test scores to get into the best colleges? It all trickles down back to them, and, you know, they need to make sure that they're getting every student to be able to be the most successful that they can in this life. So you know what I mean? That's a physical programming. However, there's a spiritual programming that is totally mm-hmm. opposite, inside out and upside down. So mm-hmm. you were talking about it. You know, if I get this position or if I make this kind of money, I will have arrived and I will have found my happiness. Or even, like you said, in relationships, if I get to marry this person or I find this ideal man or woman, I know I would have arrived at my happiness. Listen, sister, and you can tell me what you think. I have lived enough and counseled enough and experienced personally enough to know that if you're depending on another human being for your happiness, you're already in trouble. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and I'm sad for that couple that you're talking about, because what defines happiness and what works for one person doesn't work for another. This morning I was talking to a girlfriend of mine. She's happily married with this great guy. And she says, "Okay, you know, my career, it's just I'm not where I am in my career. But maybe you can have it all in this lifetime, but maybe you can just have a little bit at each time. Maybe there's a season for love. Maybe there's a season for careers. But regardless of those seasons, maybe there's just a daily decision to say, I'm going to choose happiness today, and I'm going to choose contentment." I went to the doctor recently because my job is so stressful, and she said to me, "Do you have any vacations planned?" And I said, "No, but I usually do impromptu vacations." She said, "You shouldn't do that." She said, "If you look at vacation as a whole, it's 100%. 25% of it is the anxiousness of looking to go. 50% of it is the experience that you have. And the other 25% of it is the memories." And I disagree 100%. 100% of the vacation should be what we want it to be. Why does it have to be split up? Why does everything have to be so compartmentalized? Why does this cute, adorable couple from another country have to be told whether or not they are or are not happy? And what defines it? And here's the thing. Let me just say this. We're constantly, like I told you, when I walked into the office on Monday morning and I was speaking to those board of realtors, they actually clap. They're like, yep, they were all shaking their hands, yep, because you feel so good. And then you know what happens? We end up comparing how we feel on the inside with what an illusion looks like on the outside.
Yeah, it's all an illusion. So you're hitting
it's
the career
an illusion.
Thing.
Yeah.
I agree. When you're hitting the career thing, you do start comparing, and there's an optical illusion.
But even relationships.
Well, let's talk about relationships for a minute, because I get this a lot. And you've been there, and you know what? I've been there too. You put your eggs in this basket with this one person you plan on living your life with, and they take that freaking basket and they smash it against the wall. I mean, they throw all your dreams away, sister. I mean, every dream you had of having that happy family home, gone. Okay, we've both been there, right?
Right, right. Well, let me say that, and it's not even that we're sad, and so you walk away devastated, but we're not devastated that we are no longer in that relationship. But we are devastated listen, this is the way it should have looked. It should have looked like this picture, and we are devastated that we lost the dream and the picture of what it should look
exactly.
like.
Exactly. Okay, right? But I get this. As a counselor, hear me out. As a counselor, I get this all the time. He threw my dreams away. He ruined my life. From a physical sense, people put a lot of the result of their happiness on how that other partner of theirs is going to culminate it for them, because it becomes very centered into me and my and me and what this girl does for me and what that guy does for me. That's already problematic. You cannot depend on someone else to make your dreams come true. And if you think that happiness is found in being married, again, you're already in trouble. People cry, people scream because they haven't found that quote-unquote soulmate, which is probably the most overused word in the world, because this is something that is too much pressure on another human being. You have to understand, regardless of what the physicality of what was put in your brain as a child about relationships and marriage, the truth of it is, you're there to help another person become the best version, as you call it, of themselves on their journey, and you can only hope that they're going to reciprocate that. That's what the unconditional love is, taking on more when you factor in another partner. But you cannot depend on that person for your happiness, ever. I mean, that's...
Or the money, or the right car, or the right clothes, or the right weight.
Job. Or the right position, or in my case, the right purse, which would be a Chanel. You know, it's never going to be enough. And that happiness chaser thing, I feel, is something that we have to leave in the physical realm and then point to the spiritual realm. Because, you know, what the Bible says, if we seek first the kingdom of God and try to do the right thing, everything and anything we could possibly want is going to be given to us. And what that tells me is that we can't chase happiness. We have to chase purpose. We have to chase what purpose is.
I like
say
that.
Something.
I have to process what you're saying. That is, I love what you just said, you know, because my question is, when do you know you've arrived? When is enough enough? How many houses? What is your purpose? So if you look at me and my purpose really, so I was just interviewed in a magazine. They said, well, how much have you sold? I said, I don't know how much I've sold, but I can tell you last year I helped 50 people buy a house. It was purpose. It was really the intention of helping these people make good investments, right? And so then that all comes together. But when do you know you've arrived?
In the physical realm, with money and relationships, power and position, you will never arrive. Promise you that. It's never going to be good enough, and there's always going to be somebody better. It's just like in martial arts. You think you're cool because you're a black belt? Well, guess what? That guy's a second degree. That guy's a fourth degree. I'm a sixth degree. I'm a peon when I go back because I'm with eighth, ninth, and tenth degrees. There's always going to be somebody better. You have to get off that lineage of chasing happiness and get on your journey of finding what your purpose is. Everybody who believes in God, and for you and me, I know it's Jesus Christ, has been put on this planet for a purpose. And the biggest question I find from other people who believe the way they do spiritually is, well, how do I find that purpose? I've been asking, or I've even been praying. I'm getting older, and I can't find the purpose. But you don't have to, like, fret over it. Nothing in the spirit realm should ever feel pushy or threatening. In the spirit realm, there should be a flow, and it will flow. You have to just put yourself out there and make yourself available, and every day say, God, the eyes of my heart are open. Holy Spirit, make sure that, you know, I'm the vessel today that you need me to be. Put that out there. You know what? God's not going to waste his time with that. But you have to have the eyes of your heart open, and that's just the biblical principles, spiritual isms that, you know, by the manual that we go by.
And I like everything. I love everything that you've said. You know, I'm even learning from this conversation. I have to say that there are probably hundreds of women and men out there listening to us right now and say to you, well, then what's the answer? What is happiness?
Happiness is a state of mind that will never be reached if you're going about it of trying to be power, money, prestige, and fame. Happiness, even in any other realm, is an elated state, and there's no way you're ever going to be able to chase it and catch it. We can't go around in a constant elated state unless we're drug addicts or alcoholics. And a lot of people turn to that.
So are you saying happiness is actually daily moments choosing joy?
Happiness is peace. And knowing that you were put here for a reason, and you're going to go out every day and find what that purpose is. And you would be so surprised, even in the smallest of detail, just like, you know, let me bring this up because it's funny. Last week, my show, after my show aired about, you know, stress and worry, about why do we worry about so many things that haven't happened yet, you actually called me and you said, I felt like you were talking just to me. Okay, and then I had another friend say that. Were you just talking to me when you did that show? I'm like, no. Listen, there is a guidance and a spiritual understanding. For me, that's the Holy Spirit that will cause you, if you're on purpose, to touch people on a level and make a difference with what you're doing. So just the fact that people come to me and say that, I already know I'm on purpose with what I'm supposed to be doing. Does everybody like it? No. Do people think I'm crazy? Yeah. You know, it's okay. You got to get to the point where you don't listen to the voices around you. Yes.
Well, let me ask you something. So what you just said is, listen, I'm in alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel the same way in my career. I thank Jesus every day. But what about somebody who's listening that doesn't know what they're supposed to be doing, that doesn't feel in alignment in their relationships and they're married in their life? I mean, what advice do you have for them?
Well, and that's probably 90% of the people out there who say they're spiritual people, but they haven't found a purpose yet. They haven't found why they're here to be commissioned. The Bible simply gives all the answers to that. That's my manual, guys. You have to have it to be a spiritual person. You got to have a manual. It says, ask and you'll get it. Seek it, you'll find it. If you just go out there, do a doism and start knocking, the door's going to open. All you have to do is make yourself available. Make yourself available. A nice component to making yourself available, sister, is to be still. You have to be still long enough to be able to feel spiritual things. Because you have to remember, spiritual things aren't like physical things where someone puts their arms around you and hugs you. Spiritual hugs are different. But if you don't tune yourself to be still, which is another biblical principle, you're not going to be able to tune in to what is out there spiritually in that realm for you to take a hold of, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it makes great sense. And the thing I want to point out is sometimes our purpose doesn't need to be going out there and getting a 6th-degree black belt or selling, you know, $25 million of real estate. Sometimes our purpose is just to show love in every minute. The other day I found myself so agitated. I think I called you. And I said, I'm just so annoyed. And I went for a walk, and I walked into a group of people. And sometimes in my industry I'm always on. In other words, I'm always asked questions, which is fine, and I found it an honor. But I thought in that moment, instead of being annoyed right now, how can I find love in every single person here? From the little babies that are crying in their, you know, throwing tantrums in their car seats, to the little old man I saw walking his walker. How can I see love in every person here? And it was a conscious thing. And I'll tell you what happened is I changed my atmosphere. I changed my ambience, but I have to tell you, you nailed it. I had to be quiet, be still, and I had to have a meeting with myself and say, wait a minute, instead of being agitated, waiting in line for the bank because there's 8 other people and you have a million other things to do, how can you take this small moment and savor on it and find somewhat of contentment? And I went around and I'm like, well, I like her shirt. I like his smile. Gosh, that lady's pretty. Look at that man's eyes. They're piercing blue. And I actually, and it was funny because I started getting smiles back. But I had to consciously make that decision because we can spiral down, down another path. Right? You know, you talk so much about relationships, and I really believe if you want something, give something. Listen, I have been single for almost 11 years. This might be my journey. And I've surrendered to that. That's okay. You know, I've surrendered to that. But there's still something inside of me that does say it would be really nice to have a companion. Not necessarily that I'm going to be 100% happy when I meet this person, but that there would be part of me that would find joy and happiness and contentment. I mean, I know there are people out there listening that have said to me, don't you wish you could find someone? And my response is, isn't there Romans 8:28? All things work together for the greater good. Because I'll tell you now, I have a lot of respect for single parents in a way that I never knew before I walked this journey. Money or no money, listen, it's hard to be coming home by yourself and not having anybody to share this journey with or share an experience with. But my question to you, go ahead.
Yes, ask me the question, I'll answer it.
Well,
I already know what it is.
Question, go ahead, you know what it is.
No, they don't know what it is, so go ahead and ask
it. Why don't you tell them what my question is going to be?
Listen, if you seek first what your purpose is, which is the kingdom of God, you can get anything you want. I don't care if, you know, if you want a mate to go duck hunting. It doesn't matter why you want a mate or why you want a husband or a wife. That's not the point. The point is, do you have availability to it? And the spiritual answer to that is, yes, you do. But that can't be what your focus is. See, your focus is everything. So you hit a lot of good points here because you're talking about you just started thinking love, just in the smallest of details instead of thinking negatively. Our manual, the Bible says, to love your neighbor as yourself, which means that person standing next to you at the bank, you got to feel enough love for that stranger as you would for yourself. The Bible says love is the faith, hope, love is the greatest, and to concentrate on whatsoever is lovely. If you can't do anything else on this planet but have loving thoughts, you are already on your purpose. Because if you don't have love, according to the Bible, you don't have any other gift or ability, you're a noisemaker. You have to have that love that you're talking about. And so... I have a DAR sister, Daughters of the American Revolution. These are older ladies, and this one's 90 years old. She came up to me because I do chaplaincy work for them. She came up to me and said, I want to send out cards to all the sick people that are in our organization. And she's old. I'm like, you sure you want to do that? Because, you know, nobody sends cards anymore, right? She's like, I would really like to do that. It's my way of contributing to be able to send cards. And you talk about the smallest of detail of being able to be on purpose at 90 years of age. To, according to the way the Bite rolls, that widow's mite, that tiny little penny that woman gave in the Bible, this 90-year-old lady is doing something just as great as somebody saving a million missionary children through missionary work on the other side of the planet. Because that's all she has. She has nothing but to send these cards of encouragement out to people. She's on purpose. So, yes, you're right. It doesn't have to be some big, huge package of purpose. It's in the details. It's in the smallest of things every day. But you have to find, you have to seek to find, you have to knock for that to be open. And moving in the smallest of directions, even in the way you think, is going to get it done. Well, we're out of time, sister.
It's intention.
The intent of your heart is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. All right, mm-hmm. So...
That
so anyway,
I hope everybody out there likes our show. And can we talk about your sponsorship? Your last show didn't have a sponsor.
Yes, what I want you,
you
to do.
You have a good sponsor.
Well, why don't you go ahead and talk about the good sponsor? Go ahead.
I am the good sponsor. Listen, if anybody's looking to buy or sell real estate or needs any real estate needs in the Denver metro area, I am happy to help. I can help anywhere. We are an international company, and we're happy to help with anything. I'm with Liv Sotheby's International Realty in Denver, Colorado, and I'm honored to be a sponsor of this show. Good stuff. This is a good show. This is a good show.
Hang on a minute. You got to give an email address or something.
Oh,
how are they going to contact you?
Well, Maria Vitale with Sotheby's. It's Maria at MariasDenverHomes.com. Again, Maria at Marias with an S, DenverHomes with an S, .com.
Very good. Maria at MariaDenverHomes.com. Very good. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm always honored when you read my stuff, my four books. I write for two magazines every month. You know, I just want you to pray for me with some of the things that I'm doing. I'm traveling a lot. I'm going to a lot of Native American schools because it's on my heart to make a difference with these young people who are going through horrible times in the Native American community, and they're kind of under the radar, and they don't get a lot of attention. But my inner city martial arts program, Maria, as you know, I started 18 years ago when I moved to Denver. And you know that it was not easy for me to actually go hands-on in the Denver ghetto and do what I did.
Remember telling you to quit.
Yes, you did, many times. And what did I tell you when you told me to quit?
You said, this is what God has called me to do. I need to finish my assignment.
Very good. Absolutely. People wonder how you know that, even though we've had three drive-by shootings when I was there in one summer. You just know when God has anointed you to do something or called you to do something, you know that the safest place to be is in that. The safest place to be is always in the will of what God wants you to do. So I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for your support. Feel free to contact us and let us know what you would like for us to talk about on the Eden Assignment. But Maria, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the Eden Assignment on AMAARadio.com. We do pre-record live, by the way, broadcast Monday evenings, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but I always post the link on my group page, the Eden Assignment, and you can always go to it 24/7 after that. And you know what? It's a journey, and time keeps flying by. But as we continue to move forward on that journey, I get a little more desperate to go, wow, I've got to make sure that I'm full on with, you know, what it is I'm here to do. And I know you feel the same.
Absolutely.
You there?
Absolutely. Amen. And and you know, we pray that God uses daily. Anybody out there listening who has some discouragement, who's going to think, maybe one day I'll be happy, choose right now. Choose right now to be happy. In this moment, God created you to breathe and take a breath in this moment. And the fact that your heart is beating right now should be one reason why you are happy in this
Everybody.
Moment.
That's right. Everybody who draws air.
Yeah.
Is on this plan to do something, and that's not just to suck up resources. So don't be someone that just sucks up resources, especially if you believe in God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You were destined, predestined to do something, no matter how big or small. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time. That's the assignment this week. Next week on the Eden Assignment, we're looking forward to it. Thank you. Bye, Maria.
Bye. Bye.
The American Martial Arts Alliance, along with the AMAA Masters Radio Network, is launching Proud to be a Martial Artist. This will be the theme of our 2018 Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legends Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C. on August the 3rd. Nominate someone for this great honor, someone that has made a contribution to the martial arts that has changed lives, that unsung hero that has done so much for the community, so much for lives. We want to know about that person. Visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination today. So many martial artists have lost the opportunity to share their story. Remember, visit our website, whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nomination. For questions and support, call 919-489-6100.